Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260, a one chapter per week, 260 week, 5-year long study of the New Testament. Today's broadcast, lesson number 4 of week number 24, studying Matthew chapter 24. As we get started, these reminders. For all of our free materials, click the word free at internationalgospelhour.com. Two new resources are available at our free page. Check out John William McGarvey's Sermon on Baptism. In it, McGarvey says, "Imagine that we have never heard the word baptism. Like it or not, I hope you appreciate what McGarvey does in that lesson. If nothing else, I also hope that he makes you think. Listen to the 6-lesson audio series, The Beatitudes, the first thing that Jesus taught, a study of Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. You will find both of these resources linked and freely downloadable on the free page at internationalgospelhour.com. For text updates, text IGHFREE, all one word, to this number, 55222. Text IGHFREE to 55222. To study the Bible online, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org to get started, or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. To study the Bible by mail, call toll-free 1-855-IGH-6988 for a free 30-lesson series, or use the contact form at International Gospel Hour to request that series. Let's get back into our study of Matthew 24. In our last broadcast, we saw that, as Jesus taught about the coming destruction of the temple and of the city of Jerusalem, he frequently warned his disciples about hearing, believing, and following false prophets and false teachers. Matthew records so many caveats, so many warnings in the chapter, that they are hard to miss. We review some from yesterday's study, and then we add a few new ones before moving forward. Jesus warned the disciples, saying, "Take heed that no one deceives you." He warned of those who would claim to be the Christ, and by doing so, deceive many. There would be false prophets that will rise up and deceive many, verse 11, and these false prophets will bring tribulation and death to Jesus' kingdom disciples, verse 9. False Christs and false prophets would show great signs and wonders and deceive even the elect, verse 24. Jesus told the disciples not to let teachers lead you into error with their rumors and their alleged signs. Jesus warned the disciples, if these false prophets tell you to look here or to look there, do not believe it. Verse 26. Through all of these warnings, cautions, alarms, and alerts, Jesus provided enough information about timing and about signs concerning the destruction of Jerusalem that the disciples would not, should not be taken in by the false prophets and the false teachers. Starting at Matthew 24, verse 36, Jesus introduced another time and another topic, providing even more cautions in this context about those who made claims to know exactly what God was going to do. Jesus said, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." In the verses immediately following 24, verse 36, Jesus repeatedly stated, in one way or another, that no one knows the timing of the end. Those during the days of Noah did not know until the flood came, verse 39. In Matthew 24, verse 42, Jesus said, "Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming." The master of the house had no idea when the thief would come, verse 43. Therefore, because no one knows, we must always be ready, verse 44. Regardless of what one believes Jesus was teaching in Matthew 24, it would be extremely difficult, if not impossible, to miss these and other repeated warnings. As we continue our study of the chapter, we must remember these cautions at every step along the way. John's Gospel contains 21 chapters. At the beginning of John 12, the text tells us that what took place in that context occurred 6 days before Passover. That would have been the last Passover that Jesus observed, as he was tried and crucified within the context of that annual feast. John chapter 12, verse 12, parallels what we have recently studied in Matthew 21. In both texts, we learn that as Jesus entered the city of Jerusalem, multitudes took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." John 12, verse 13. This event took place about a week before the Passover celebration itself. As John chapter 13 opens, John's account has moved forward about 1 week. Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, gathered before the feast of the Passover with his disciples. At the end of the supper chronicled there, Jesus rose, put aside his garments, took a towel, and prepared to wash the feet of the apostles. Chapter 13 of John, starting in verse 2. There are, of course, multiple points of interest in this passage, only one of which we will highlight here. Nearly 9 of John's 21 chapters, almost half of his gospel, center on the last day that Jesus spent in the company of his apostles. That John records such a large percentage of his narrative on this singular day makes it quite significant. We introduced that unique chronological feature of John to segue into a similar chronological feature in Matthew's gospel. We just stated that what we read in John chapter 12, verse 12, parallels what we already saw in Matthew chapter 21, Jesus' triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem. As you read through the 21st chapter of Matthew, we learn that Jesus directed the disciples to bring the donkey and the colt to him, that they found both where Jesus said they would be, and that Jesus rode the colt into the city. That's recorded in Matthew chapter 21, starting in verse 1. In that context, Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves.'" That's Matthew 21, verses 12 and 13. Additionally, we learned that Jesus healed the blind and the lame who came to him in the temple, prompting the chief priest and the scribes to take critical notice of his actions. Matthew 21, verses 14 through 16. Afterward, Jesus left Jerusalem and went to Bethany on the Mount of Olives, where he spent the night. Verse 17. What's so important about this timetable? First, it's a sampling of what Jesus did during his earthly ministry, specifically what he was doing in the closing days of his work. That makes it important. Second, it's also important because of what Jesus did, the prophecies that he fulfilled, the impact that he had on the people, his concern for their souls, both physically and spiritually, and the constant challenges that Jesus faced from the religious leaders. But there's another dimension that we want to note for our present study, and that's this. Matthew chapter 21, verses 18 and 19 says, "Now in the morning, as he returned to the city, he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves, and said to it, 'Let no fruit grow on you ever again.' Immediately the fig tree withered away." The words "now in the morning" tells us that what Jesus did, cursing the fig tree, occurred on the day following his entry into Jerusalem, the day that he drove out the money changers and the day that he healed the blind and the lame in the temple. Well, what's so important about that? This. What we are reading in Matthew 24 takes place on the same day. Yes. That means that what we have already read and studied in the remainder of Matthew 21 and all of what we have read and studied in Matthew 22 and Matthew 23, all of that also occurred on the same day. We will not take the time to survey everything, but as you take the time to do so in your personal reading or rereading of these chapters, you will see that Jesus was quite busy that day. And as we continue to work our way through Matthew 24, we will see that his day was not yet done. Matthew 24, verse 1 tells us that Jesus went out and departed from the temple, a text that confirms what we just observed. Jesus had been in the temple area all along. As Jesus left the temple, his disciples came up to show him the building of the temple. Matthew does not tell us what specifically prompted the disciples' remarks about the temple, but as they, the disciples and Jesus, traveled toward the Mount of Olives, apparently to spend the night in that area, as Jesus did in Matthew 21:17, they would have proceeded out of the city upward toward Olivet, and the road that they would have taken would have afforded them, as Wilkins notes, a spectacular view of the temple behind and below them. The first century Jewish historian and writer Josephus described the temple in a much more dramatic way, a way that, as we imagine, the disciples catching a glimpse of the temple as they walked the road to the Mount of Olives would most certainly have captured their attention. Here's what Josephus said. Now the outward face of the temple in its front wanted nothing that was likely to surprise either men's minds or their eyes, for it was covered all over with plates of gold of great weight, and at the first rising of the sun reflected back a very fiery splendor and made those who forced themselves to look upon it to turn their eyes away, just as they would have done at the sun's own rays. But this temple appeared to strangers when they were at a distance like a mountain covered with snow, for as to those parts of it that were not gilt, they were exceeding white. On its top it had spikes with sharp points to prevent any pollution of it by birds sitting upon it. Of its stones, some of them were 45 cubits in length, 5 in height, and 6 in breadth. End of citation from Josephus. Both Mark's and Luke's parallel accounts indicate that the disciples, consistent with the majestic description that Josephus provided, were quite impressed by what they would have seen. In our next broadcast, we will take up at this point and continue our study of Matthew 24. These reminders as we conclude. To start our free, self-paced online Bible study, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. To study by mail, call this toll-free number 1-855-IGH-6988. We hope that you can join us as we study God's Word together in our next broadcast.